Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
I'm someone I've never had a problem with a prime job ever.
Oh, I have.
I've never in my entire hobbying career, even when I first started, I never had a problem. The only problem I ever had with any sort of spray was with my Tomb Kings and matte sealant, because I sprayed it outside in the summer knowing nothing. So when I brought them in to dry, they were cloudy.
The only matte like sealer that I used that I've really liked as of late is the Testers.
Testers Gold Coat. That's it.
Yeah,
that's the beginning. That's the alpha and omega.
I just wish they made it in bigger jars in those little.
You just gotta buy four of them at once.
Oh God, it annoys me to like no end.
A case of four for a reason. should buy four.
I know.
So that's the only time I ever had an issue, and it ended up not being too bad, because when all was said and done, I painted over their bases again, and it ended up just looking like they were covered in like dust. So like it kind of worked because they were skelebones.
Yeah,
it was just like, all right, like that's good enough.
they're skelebones. I mean, it's, yeah.
So like it was like, you know, it's like they were covered in sandy dust. I was like, yeah, sure, whatever, that's fine.
Sandy Dust was my porn name.
Oh
yeah.
What about Dusty Sands?
Dusty Sands. So wait, so these guys are the gray? Are they Army Painter gray?
Yes, that is uniform gray, I believe.
Okay, and this is like a blue.
That's Wolf gray, which is Space Wolf gray.
So why'd you do two different colors?
Because they're going to look different.
Oh, okay. And then the red are going to be different, of course, as well. Well, these guys are like the demon guys.
Yeah.
The demon girls, I should say. Or the demon gender neutrals, I don't know.
They're girls, and these are gentlemen. They're specifically gendered because the masks affect them differently.
Oh, okay.
So, like, example, this is a Pelagarth lady, the Fab Bottom girls.
Yeah.
They're super tough. That's their thing. Like, they're like skin's thicker than rhino skin.
Ooh.
And of course, they, you know, they got the guts and the big butts.
Yeah.
And like they're super tough. That's how the masks affect them. And then the dudes who wear the Pelagarth masks could turn into those.
Oh.
They're hulking monstrosities. They're super duper strong, but they are not tough.
No. Okay.
So they don't get the endurance, but they get the strength.
Yeah. So they complement each other.
Right. And then you have.
I don't think I have these guys yet.
No, those are new.
Yeah.
Bye. There's and then of course the Ashman. So the thing
Ashman.
Is I didn't want all of the army to look, cuz I like the paint scheme that they do for them in the book.
Yeah.
But they're all gray.
Yeah.
The more demon-esque ones, like the ones that the masks have taken over, cuz these are all humans.
Ah.
But they have the mask, like the longer you wear the mask, the more you become a monster. So, like, this is a dude who's been wearing the mask for, you know, probably his entire life.
Yeah.
This gigantic fucking
And he
demon
has survived.
Dude. Right. Their paint scheme looks nice. Like, they look very, they're well painted, but they're just gray. It's just an entire army of gray.
Gray.
So, I want to have, you know, I'm going to keep the, you know, they're going to be similar. You know, these are just going to be a little more bluish gray, and these are going to be gray. Just to give it a little bit of, you know, differentiating, like, yeah, I want to be able to tell what things are from a distance too. Just like, you know, because these are right now are like board game pieces. Like,
yeah.
you would never mistake any of these pieces for one another, because it's like that's clearly gray, that's clearly like the wolf gray, and those are clearly red.
Yeah, no, I mean it works. I mean I'm not a huge fan of the undercoating of like a specific color, like the army color, because I know in a current army I'm working on, like a person always recommends like every painting guide I've seen to them, and they're not great painting guides because these guys are like pretty amateurs, but they're always like, yeah, we use Army Painter spray for all of the first coat, and I'm like, ah.
Yeah, I like it very much if you're gonna have I think it's an end result plan. So like these models, I am going to do, you know, really extreme highlights. They're not going to be subtle. They're going to be cartoonish.
Yeah.
So I think the more unrealistic you're going to leave your model at the end, the more it's like a Blood Angel example. I would never, if I wanted to do like a classic, like cartoonish pop of red, like super red, I would prime them red.
Yeah.
But if I wanted to do like a realistic, gritty, like hard sci-fi red armor, I would prime them brown.
Hard sci-fi. I'm into hard sci-fi fan fiction.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, the end result. Like, what do you want? So I want these, when these figures are done and on the table, like, I want people to look at them and see that gray, like, pop, and the space will pop. You know, it's going to be a really distinct color.
Because you don't stop.
But, like, for historical figures, I mean, the only color I would probably ever use for historical figures is just black.
Yeah.
just always black.
You know, actually, you know what I found is actually a pretty nice color to... with a gray. No, a good base coat for, like, especially historical figures is brown.
Brown, yeah.
I never really thought of that as, like, no one ever undercoats in brown. No one ever does. And I'm just kind of like...
I have.
I could see that with, like, Skelebones. That would work really well. I mean, like, I've never done that before. And I'm like, okay. Well, usually with, like, when I painted Skelebones for commission work or whatever else I did.
You did white?
No, I actually undercoated with black, but that's because I wanted it very gothic as opposed to, like, dusty.
Okay.
So I wanted it, you know, like, very, you know, Lord Byron-esque, like...
Sure.
Yeah, like that, okay. As opposed to all things. Ugh. I'm glad you're doing this hobbying. I've been dealing with my wife yelling at me about my PS3 because it's slowly dying. I've had it for 10 years, so it's like this thing is held out. But I got to get a PS4 soon. Yeah. And it's actually kind of good because I've been holding off on buying a PS4 because I kind of wanted to... There's been nothing that I've wanted for it except now the new Uncharted, and I really like Uncharted, so I'm kind of like...
Well, this one's supposed to be really good.
Uncharted.
Everyone is jizzing themselves over it, so...
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, every time I see a commercial for it, I'm always... It's like Nathan Drake, like, I could have had a normal life. And I'm like, do I have to play as Nathan Drake as, like, a dude in his, like, apartment? Because if I have to do that, I don't know if I want to play it. Because that just sounds awful. No, it's an Indiana Jones Tomb Raider puzzle game.
As long as it's not like the third game, we'll be good.
What, did you play the third one?
I fucking hated the third one. It was awesome and then terrible.
I've played all three Uncharted so far, and always the last level is just batshit stupid.
The part that I got to in three that made me actually just stop was where you're running across a bridge and there's like 15 guys with rocket launchers just shooting rockets at you. I was like, this is dumb.
I know that's when you're in like Tibet, right?
Yeah, it's like after you, because the game was great until you get to gunplay, and then as soon as guns start coming out in the game like nosedives.
Yeah, I could see that, especially if you're like a guy who plays FPS games. The FPS and Uncharted is terrible.
Yeah, and like the fist fights were great.
Yeah,
and I do like fighting the dude in the bar and like smashing him into the, like, that's the thing. It's like the game was so good, and to have such a fucking quick just dive into terrible, I've never experienced that in a game before.
You weren't missing much, because after like the Tibet stuff, like you're running through the streets of that whatever city, that like Asian, like generic city,
the Asian Dawn.
Yeah,
I read about them.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you're running through that part and you're like, oh, this is great, you know, this is fun. It's not like super FPSy, but there's like a couple times where you gotta take like pot shots with pistols at guys and you're like, this is great. And then it gets a little too into the FPS stuff where you're like fighting the terrorists in Tibet and this is not much. And then it gets like stupid after that.
That's a shame.
Yeah, like,
but apparently that's a universal thing. Everyone agrees that the third one is the worst and the second one is the best.
Second one is fantastic.
But the fourth one, the fans of who previously claimed the second was the best says that it has now been superseded by the fourth.
The second one was good. The problem is like always in the last level, it's like this realistic kind of adventure thing where you're kind of, you know, going through all of these like lost cities and you're kind of randomly fighting these dudes who are after the treasure. It's kind of Indiana Jones-ish. But then the last one is always like you're fighting Yetis in the Garden of Eden. And you're like, this is stupid.
You should get the adventurers in the Temple of Chak.
The Temple of Chak.
And then and also the adventurers in Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good Indiana Jones style board games.
Oh, board games. OK.
Yeah.
I was thinking of something else. High Adventure, maybe? I don't know what it's called.
But they're real good. There's two in the line. Yeah. They're not compatible. They're base games.
Yeah.
But they're like, one is Atlantis and the other is like a Indiana Jones style jungle temple. You should get them. They're real good.
Can I do the Indiana Jones theme while I'm playing?
Absolutely. You know what? When the time comes, you'll know. You'll know exactly when to do it. Yep. But yeah, I'm hobbying again. So, you know, bring it back.
I know. I'm kind of impressed. Like, you finished off that King's War army. Now you got the bug again.
Yep.
Yeah, which is funny because I'm like kind of on a downslide right now.
That's how it is.
Yeah, with a super pregnant wife, it's like all of a sudden it's like I can't. The same thing happened with my first kid. The first kid, when like about 2 or 3 months out, I kind of stopped hobbying for a while. But I didn't really have like a major game I was playing at the time, which is fine. I think right. I was painting a lot of fantasy stuff at that point. And like I stopped. And then the kid was born a month later, around the kid was born in August, about October-ish. All of a sudden it just hit me. And I painted like the best stuff I've ever painted in my like award winning stuff, like stuff where I've like I look at it, I'm like, how the fuck did I paint that? I can't paint like that.
You somehow got lucky.
I don't even think it's lucky. I think it was just like, I think it was like I have to think about something other than a child.
The things came together.
Yeah, like my mind has to cut off from like it was like a mixture of sleep deprivation and like just. Like, I can't do anything else. Like, I can't play video games. I can't watch TV.
Right.
You know, it's like I have literally an hour and a half to paint. I'm going to use this to the best of my advantage.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm just, want to play this game. So
yeah.
I'm going to fucking do it. And then once these are done, it'll be on to I think when I'm done with these, I think I'm going to do my smorgasbord. So I'm going to do like the...
You're going to make a tray of meats and cheeses?
Well, sort of, but miniatures.
Ooh.
I'm going to do the extra stuff that's not a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm going to do my Merc stuff, my Arena Rex, my... I have a couple Gundam kits.
Ooh, Gundam kits.
Yeah, I'm going to put those in there. And I'm just going to do like kind of a mix of just things and probably throw my Dark Age in there too because there's only like... 12 models. So I'm just going to do all of my things that have a small model count, and I'm going to do them all at once. Because, you know, this is a whole army, and I just did an army, so this way I'll do like something that's going to really break it up. And then after that's done, it's Lord of the Rings time.
Ooh. You know what? I totally forgot to bring my Lord of the Rings stuff. I kind of wanted to bring it here to show it, you just what I had. And I have it packed up, and I was like, I was leaving my house today. I was already out, and I'm like, fuck. God damn it.
Next time.
Yeah. It's a... I think there's some stuff in there that's worth a decent amount. I don't know. I may never play that game. So you actually, out of all of the miniatures that I have, you probably have like the best ability to talk me out of talk me into selling those models out of any other game that I have.
Excellent.
Maybe Clan War, just because I have so much.
I would not. I'll leave you the Clan War
or Confrontation. I have a lot of that too. But even then, it's like meh. I don't know.
You got to keep it. Is it all sorted too?
It's all completely sorted. All completely sorted. It was so bad. Like
that's awesome.
I actually had like, you know, those big monster sized totes that they sell,
yeah.
Like the big deep, like couple gallon sized ones.
Sure.
Filled with blisters, like just blisters.
I had that for Privateer for a little while.
Yeah. So what I ended up doing is I was like, fuck it. I opened them all up. I took all the metal, sorted them into, I use VHS cases because you could find them super cheap. The plastic ones, see-through ones. And so I buy them at like 10 cents a case. And so I use those to sort my figures. So now they stack really easily. So it's
that's great.
I'm insane. What can I say?
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, you go to my house. It looks like an old video store, just like with all the cases that are lined up.
You should get a UPC scanner and just print out your UPC codes and actually like get a digitized system so you can just walk
Steve,
by and go boop boop, boop
Steve,
boop. You can scan it.
You don't know what you're talking
Dude,
about
you,
there.
You can get a hand scanner.
I know.
You can get a hand scanner, print it out, stick them on there, and you can actually just go, what's it? You could organize it past the point of where you are now because you could just go, what's in here? And you can go, boop, boop. And it's like, oh, that's what's in there.
Oh, that would be ridiculous. But I like where your head is. I like where your head is. All right. So welcome to Comic Book Live.
You've broken. It's over.
I have. Is X-Men out this weekend? Is this the Age of the Apocalypse weekend?
I don't know.
It might be. I think I got to go see that.
X-Men.
Yeah, or maybe it comes out next. I don't know. I don't really care.
I don't know.
That movie looks like garbage.
I still haven't seen the Captain America.
It's pretty good. It's not... It's definitely an A-level movie. I just don't know how I feel about it.
Because
it's something completely different than anything you've ever seen in a comic book movie.
I feel that there's too many goddamn fucking comic book movies.
Well, I mean, the weird thing, but we are getting a big Willy weekend this summer.
It's true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm going to
see that. You're excited about that.
I'm excited to have Big Willy weekend again.
Yeah.
That's...
Except it's in August, so it's not your July 4th Big Willy
It's true,
weekend.
But it's still Big Willy weekend.
Yes.
So, like, I get to go into the theater going, Big Willy weekend, Big Willy weekend.
Yeah, the... I always kind of hated the X-Men movies, like, ever since probably
the only really, like, the only one that was decent and decent was the second one.
Yeah, X-Men X2.
Yeah, yeah, like, the other ones have all been, you know, well, obviously the third one was really bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's where it started, like, you're like, and then they had, like, the X.
The third one was just objectively bad. It was just a bad movie.
There was not a lot.
Like, Vinnie Jones as the Juggernaut was terrible.
Well,
like,
yeah, because they used an internet meme from, not, like,
you know what? You could have gotten that internet meme. You could have used that in an amazing way. But because it was, like,
Vinnie Jones
and the way the character was being presented, like, the Juggernaut does not work as a dude in a suit. The Juggernaut is Juggernaut's a CG character, period. Because the Juggernaut is the size of the Hulk. His fucking hands are, like there's plenty of panels where, you know, he punches Wolverine and Wolverine's, like, the size of his fist.
Yeah.
You know, Juggernaut's huge.
He's a massive dude. Yeah. Right. No, so, I completely understand that.
Yeah. And, you know, he grabs someone and hits them with another, you know, he grabs a person and hits a person with that person.
Yeah. I mean, they could have even made him a mutant and not have to worry about the Sidorak crystal or any of that nonsense.
Yeah. If you want to get rid of the Sidorak crystal, that's fine. You can call him a mutant because I think the modern version of the Juggernaut is a mutant.
Yeah.
But even then, like, he's fucking huge. Like, that's the Juggernaut's deal. And you could have done that. Like, they could have done it, and they could have used the meme, and it would have been funny. But the movie was already falling apart at that point.
Yeah.
It just, you know, what a disaster. But, you know, I think they just didn't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
They were like, we got to make another X-Men movie because we got to keep making money. But what do we do with it?
Yeah.
And the guy's just like, Juggernaut, bitch, use Vinnie Jones. He's kind of popular. Because, you know, Vinnie Jones was in a bunch of movies around that time.
Yeah.
You know, he was in
Snatch.
Snatch. And then Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels was big. Like, it came out already, but it was, you know, big because of Snatch.
Yeah.
And then he was in there was that Soccer Hooligans movie. Like, he did a bunch of British films.
Euro Trip, are you talking about?
Not Euro Trip, but he's also in Euro Trip. He is a soccer hooligan in Euro Trip.
My baby. He takes the morning train. He works till 9 to 5, and then he takes another home again to watch the Manchester United football team.
That's a great movie, actually. The Euro Trip, Road Trip, and Not Another Teen Movie are the three comedy films that I thought were just going to be total garbo.
Yeah.
And when I actually watched them, I laughed my ass. I was like, wow, this is really funny.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of Road Trip, but I will agree with you. Like, one of my like favorite triple features was one time I was really, really, really sick, and I was on the weekend, and my wife, who was then my girlfriend at the time, we stayed home and we watched, like, Not Another Teen Movie.
That
I think
so good.
Bring It On. And
it's already been brought it.
Yeah. Bring It On. And what was the other one? It was the one with the beauty pageants, the one from Minnesota. I can't think of the name of it now.
Beauty pageants, Minnesota.
Anyway, I watched those three, like, all at once, and I was just like, this is great. I have nothing else to do with this one. But yeah, the X-Men movies, I've never... The only one that I've liked since, like, the second one is I like Days of Future Past a little bit.
I didn't see Days of Future Past. I thought First Class was half of a great movie.
Oh yeah. Well, every movie is exactly the same. It's like the biggest problem with the X-Men movies, and this is a preview for those who listen to Comic Book Logic, is I'm gonna have the same rant, is that every single one of them is exactly the same way. It's like, starts off awesome. Like, the first half of the movie is fantastic, and then the last half of the movie is awful, awful CGI mutant battles. And it's like, they always are just like, well, we're gonna take all of these mutants who have these really great backstories, and we're gonna ruin them by just having them be goons. Every single one of them is exactly the same. Like, that's what bothered me with First Class, was it was just like, we already know who the X-Men First Class is. It's Cyclops, it's
Iceman,
Jean Grey, Iceman, Angel, and Beastman. Yeah. That's it. You don't have to have any more than that. And they brought in all these, like, lame-ass mutants to do.
And, like, Darwin, like, he seemed made up. I don't think he's from actually...
He is in there, but he's not
okay. That
same thing. But they just use it. That's all they do. It's like, Fox has no...
Yeah, if they're going to use random esoteric mutants, they should use Maggot or somebody cool.
Maggot is cool?
That was the joke.
Oh, okay, good. No, but I mean...
I hate the X-Men, dude. I think the X-Men is, like, the worst Marvel comic. Like...
But the thing, it wasn't
so
always.
Bad.
It was actually, like, really cool and fun. But they, like, seriously, Fox ruined that franchise completely. Like, and when I say they ruined it, they even, because comic books have this tendency to reflect the movies more. Like, when 89 Batman came out, all of a sudden Batman was wearing, like, this, like, black armor suit. And he was, By the way, did you see the concept art for Batman 89?
I don't think so.
Because, you know, they did, I don't know, I know you don't read comics that much, but they did this series called Batman 66, which was all in the style of the 1966 Batman, you know, Adam West.
That's awesome.
So all the villains, everything was drawn just like the TV show.
Cool.
So then they did a Wonder Woman 72, I don't remember the exact name of it, which is all based off that TV show as well. Did pretty well. They were in the works to do Batman 89, which was going to be completely styled off. The artwork was going to be completely styled off the Tim Burton verse.
Okay.
So, like, they were going to bring in all of these characters who, like, they were, like, Two-Face was going to be Billy Dee Williams.
Right, of course.
With the Two-Face.
As it should be.
Yeah, and they were going to do, I think, that one girl who gets, like, her face melted off by the Joker, the mall,
whatever
her name is. She was going to be Harley Quinn. And they were going to do, I think they wanted to do, what's her face? Gina Davis was going to be Poison Ivy. They were going to use her likeness for Poison Ivy. It looked so cool, but they never went through with it. But they posted the concept art. I was a big fan.
That would have been
sweet. I know. Whatever. But anyway, X-Men's bullshit.
X-Men.
They should just do an X-Men video game, the movie.
They should.
And it's just a live stream of people
playing. Welcome to die.
Welcome to die.
Yeah, it's fucking good.
Nothing can move the blob.
Yep.
Wendigo.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Oh, that game is great. That's the one game I'd have if I have an arcade cabinet in my house.
The Six-Man?
The big one. Yeah, you got to do the Six-Man. I also like the Turtles one, but the X-Men one was infinite.
Turtles only has four players.
But it's infinitely... the X-Men is infinitely superior.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just because, like, such certain characters are so beast-stick.
And surprisingly, the Simpsons beat-em-up is great.
Oh, yeah, that one's a good one, too. Yeah. It's... The bigger problem with the Simpsons one is I think that the LCD screen... Not LCD, whatever the screen that they used for the Simpsons cabinets was always like a really piss poor quality. So the colors went out on them really quickly.
Yeah.
And that game's very visual. So you need nice colors.
Yeah. I mean,
one.
Well, if you're doing a cabinet, you could do your own. You could use
That's
your
true.
Own
you could.
Monitors.
But I'm just, that was a common issue with that.
Sure.
Anyway, welcome to Game Classy. I am your host, Joe. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Steve. 20 minutes into the
welcome
podcast.
Welcome to Comics and Video Games Cast.
Well, we don't have much to talk about. I only have one thing really I need to talk about, and that's Warhammer Quest. What is it called? The Silver Tower?
The Silver Tower.
Oh, this is
Those fucking goblins are the worst thing ever. They're so fucking bad.
Okay, so this is going to be my in-depth review of Warhammer Quest, The Silver Tower. The game is bullshit, okay? Let's just put it that way. How do you have you played it? Have you looked at it, played it, anything like that?
It looked terrible.
Yeah,
the models are cool. I really like the Tzeentch guys.
They're okay. So let's go into a little bit of history of Warhammer Quest.
Oh, is it a good version of Warhammer Quest?
No, not at all.
No, it's terrible.
So Warhammer Quest was essentially an original dungeon crawler kind of. You go through the different dungeons. You'd lay down little cardboard tunnels and like dungeon rooms and everything like that, and the dungeon master, or if you're playing without a dungeon master, there would be random spawning of enemies. Mm-hmm. You fight the enemies, you get treasure, you can open up new tunnel and you open up new entries and things like that through as you're playing it. It's nothing new. It's a standard dungeon crawler. It's been forever. But what was great about the Warhammer Quest one was it fit into the world. Like there was nothing weird about it. It was just a standard dungeon. There was goblins.
It was a quest that was happening in the Warhammer world.
Yeah. There was Skelebones. There was a Minotaur, an ogre. There was lots of cool stuff in there. You got a shit ton of figures in there. A couple unique ones that, you know, that were pretty cool sculpts and things like that. And you could buy little expansion packs with characters in it. So GW, in a bid to gain nostalgia, puts out another Warhammer quest. That's great. Everyone was excited about this. You get, first of all, the tunnel, like, cards, the cardboard things that you have on there are almost indecipherable. You can't tell what the you're walking on. It's all, like, sparkly and kind of, like, you know, like, Tzeentch-y, which I guess would be fine if it was an expansion. But this should have been, like, a standard dungeon.
Well, it's supposed to be, so Warhammer's now, especially when you talk about branch-off games, because they shit all over their lore.
Yeah, their IP.
They, like, diarrhea it all over it to make it more trademarkable. The concept, the conceptually, it's actually awesome. Like, the idea is really cool, and it's great that it looks weird because they're inside a silver tower of Tzeentch.
Yeah,
which is from I think it was in War Master.
Well, Man of War.
Man of War, and like the silver towers. Yeah, like the silver towers of Tzeentch were these weird non-Euclidean spaces where like all sorts of bizarre shit happens, and like that was what the thing is. So like, it's a group of adventurers going through a silver tower. Conceptually, that's super smart. It's like, wow, that's really cool. Like, that's a very interesting design space, and you could do weird stuff.
Okay, I'll hand you that, but I think that would have worked better for an expansion. I kind of feel like it doesn't feel like a dungeon.
I mean, the fact that there are fucking spider goblins in there for no other reason than the fact that they made those models. The bard, master of the game.
My bard is a flamenco dancer. He's a flamenco player.
So he mentioned on his unboxing of the Assassinario Exucarium or whatever the fuck it was.
Shittatorium.
Yeah. Shittatorium. You know, the one where they made the
vomitorium. Vomitorium.
How they made the new assassin minis. And the game was a vessel to sell the minis.
Yeah.
The minis didn't sell the game. So you know that the game was not designed to be a game.
Yeah.
It was designed to just pawn these minis off on people.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So
it was actually a good deal.
And I think that's what the Silver Tower is. They had these models in the works, and they didn't find a good fit for them for trying to sell individually in box. So they're just like, I guess we'll just stick the sprues in this box and sell it that way.
That could be, but they put a lot of effort into it. I mean,
I mean, if they're grabbing sprues, I mean, I haven't seen how the sprues are laid out.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if they just grab the sprues and instead of putting them in a box of spider goblins for Age of Sigmar, they can just throw them in this box Silver Tower and be like, oh, here you go.
I don't think I've actually seen the sprues because I've seen all the models and I've taken a look at them.
Yeah. Now, if the sprues are laid out in a certain way where like the goblins are on the same sprues as the Tzeentch dudes.
Yeah, I think
then you got me.
Not necessarily because of the way that they do the minis now. They actually design them in the computer, and so when they print them out
they can just drag them where they want.
Yeah, they can drag them where they want.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It just seemed.
This is an old school Steve. This is like Ali Morrison is not sitting there sculpting a spider goblin, and then they take it to the mastery. No, that doesn't happen anymore.
But overall, like, the models I thought were pretty cool. Like the little familiar guys were neat. Yeah. The Tzeentch dudes were cool. Like, they were very Realm of Chaos. Like very.
It's too stylized for me. Too stylized.
Well, I mean, it's just you don't like the current. No, I mean, and a I lot of people like don't it. Like the current GW style. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of it either, but it's because it's all CAD.
Yeah.
You know, there's no one. It's not the fact that it is CAD, because I've seen plenty of like the Malifaux stuff is all CAD and they have some good looking models. But the GW ones have like a very distinct look. Like the orcs are a great example. They're like chunky, like the orc, the wyvern, like his like jaw is like straight lines,
yeah,
like things that should be rounded are like sharp corners,
yeah,
and that's their CAD issue, and that like all of the workshop figures have that, like they all have that, you know, like, oh, this is a CAD model.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then so let's just get into the models. I mean, the models are fine, but it's just like they're so weirdly designed, they don't feel GW. Like, you know, you said the spider goblins, it's like, what the hell is this? How am I gonna even fucking paint this model? Because half of it is under like a canopy, and it's just like, how do I get in there to paint? Do I just like, what's going on? How would I paint this? This doesn't make any sense.
Well, they're also terrible looking.
Oh, they're awful looking.
Yeah, they're awful. They're like I said, they're
you should have a spider writing on them.
Yeah, a spider on their back.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're conceptually the worst GW models ever. Conceptually. Because someone pointed out the dragon, I think it was James probably, pointed out the dragon plane being really shitty for Chaos. And while I agree that model is really bad, conceptually, a demon-possessed plane that's kind of morphing into a dragon is fucking sweet if you do it right. If you do that as like a cool like hat, like, you know how the Soul Grinder is, like,
yeah,
where it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah. If they did that, but it was a dragon, but also a plane, that'd be fucking cool.
Yeah. Like, I don't really have a huge problem with that model in general.
I hate the fucking dragon plane.
Well, I hate all of the stupid Chaos gilding that they do on it.
Yeah,
that's always bothered me, especially because like the Forge World Chaos planes are so fucking badass looking.
Yeah,
yeah. But aside, I'm not a huge 40K fan to begin with. Like, I always think that the models are pretty piss poor in 40K. But yeah, the model, the entire box set is just kind of nonsense for $150. Like, that.
I thought it was $180.
Well, $180. Okay, so fine. Maybe it's $100. Like, how much is it Australian? $684 used.
I assume that's about right.
Yeah. I think it's probably.
No, did you play it? Have you?
No, but I watched some people playing. Okay, so that'll be the.
Yeah, because the thing about like the spaces don't look like they make any sense. Like obviously on the board.
Yeah.
But is it like a moving between rooms thing, or you actually have to count spaces on the board? That's the real.
Well, I mean, your movement was based on spaces in the old game too.
Oh, I'm sure this is nothing like the old game. This game is from what I look like. I haven't played it. But I looked at how the War Scrolls are laid out and whatnot, and it seems like this board game is compatible with Sigmar.
Yeah.
So I think this is a vessel to sell you more Sigmar models, because you can go, oh, I'm going to grab this stuff and put it in this game. So if that's the rule set, I think the rule set for Sigmar...
Yeah, but then you'd have to have people playing Age of Sigmar.
Yeah. You know, I think the rule set for Sigmar, like I've said it before, I don't think the rules are actually that bad. The stupid beard shit is dumb. Obviously, but the lack of points, which has been, rectum fried. But I think it works for what Age of Sigmar is, and Age of Sigmar is supposed to be I got these four models and these three models. You want to play? And like, you could be like, yeah, sure. Like that, like as that idea, Age of Sigmar is perfectly executed.
I have my Sigmarites that are painted with a chunky bronze.
Yes, sure. Like that's the thing. Like with the way Age of Sigmar is designed, it's designed to be a game where, you know, a couple little kids, even at Games Workshop prices, a couple little kids could get into it and play.
Yeah,
and have fun doing it, and that's great. And it's complete anathema to the Warhammer Fantasy players, because they're sitting there with 300 models like, where the fuck are my blocks? So like, you know, that's not a game. The game's not for them. You know, no. Like Games Workshop quietly discontinued you.
Yeah.
You just don't know that. That's what, and like they're trying. And a lot of people who had giant fantasy armies who are, you know, sticking out with Sigmar, which there are a few, they're trying very desperately to square peg the round hole.
Yeah.
And I think that rule set is great for what that is, of just like grab some random stuff, throw it down, play. And I think it's great. Like, I mean, if I knew anyone playing Age of Sigmar, I'd grab a couple models. Like the chaos stuff from the starter set's dirt cheap.
Yeah.
So like, I'd grab a few and just like play some games with them. But nobody I know is interested, because it's super simple. It's like, if you want that simplistic gameplay, like, and you want the blocked movement, play Kings of War. Like, that's what Kings of War. Like, Age of Sigmar is basically their answer to the other games in the marketplace by taking the simplicity of Kings of War and games like Kings of War, which are, you know, dumbed down Warhammer 6th edition, and sticking it with the movement rules of 40K and War Machine.
Yeah.
So you've got, you stick those things together, you shake them out, and you get Age of Sigmar. It's a super simple, super easy game. The stat lines are super small. All of the rules are self-contained.
Yeah. I think that's like the biggest problem right there. And I blame millennials. That's basically what I do. Millennials and like baby boomers. Those are the people that I blame for everything.
Just both?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you're a millennial, right?
No, I'm a Gen Xer.
I don't think so.
Yeah. My birthday's still in the Gen X
okay.
window.
Okay. So you just blame anyone who's not in your generation.
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
Even though millennials would be the smallest demographic of people buying Games Workshop models.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Okay. It's actually kind of funny, because like millennials, I've had this conversation with like some people as of recent, a couple people who are a little younger than I am, like in their late 20s. It was about Teen Titans Go. I love that cartoon. I think it's fantastic, and my daughter loves it. And they're like, yeah, but I really like the old, I wish they kept that old Teen Titans show on. I'm like, why? And they're like, oh, it was great. You know, I'm like, but you're not their target demographic. Their target demographic are like little kids, like my kid.
Right. It's over. It's time.
It's over. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
I gotta disagree with you on the minis though. Like, I really like the minis in the Silver Tower. I mean, look at this. Like, these guys are cool. Like, they're perfect Chaos Marauders. They're perfect Tzeentch Chaos Marauders. Like, that is perfection in Tzeentch Chaos Marauders.
I don't like those helmets though. It doesn't fit any of the previous IP.
That's the thing. I think it does fit the IP, but they never released Tzeentch models for fucking fantasy ever.
No, you're right on that.
Like,
but
I think the only specific Tzeentch models they've ever done are demons, and they had the Chaos Sorcerer.
I just wish that maybe if they were a little more like Egyptian-y. Instead, they kind of look like
they're supposed to be stylized Egyptians. They look like Thousand Sons. They look like, and that's the aesthetic that they go for with Tzeentch. And then they have the mutated ones that kind of look like.
See, I don't like these either.
I think those are.
They're supposed to look like horrors.
No, those are. I think those are chosen that are mutated to look like the.
Yeah, but they're
the Lord of Change.
Yeah, they kind of look a little bit like
they have bird features. So yeah, they're looking like the Lord of Change.
But they got kind of like
the
horror.
Little familiars are great.
Yeah, I do like the familiars. I'll give you the familiars. Yeah, familiars are always fun models to have.
Those
regardless.
Are classic. I love the book with legs.
Yeah,
that's my fucking favorite thing.
That's old school fantasy. Those familiars are old school. That's why I like them.
And the horrors work. I mean, they look like
the
horrors.
Yeah, those are fine.
Like the horrors.
I like that's.
But the goblins are atrocious. The goblins are terrible.
And I don't like the hero models either. Really.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really pay attention to the hero. Like the hero models were kind of like, eh. Yeah, they put a fucking Sigmarine in there, and like the Tzeentch Sorcerer is really cool looking.
He's fine. He's fine. I have no problem really with him. He looks like a Tzeentch Sorcerer.
Yeah.
But I'm talking like those Marauders, and like I'm just like. Ugh.
Yeah, they're like a weird stylized Egyptian Tzeentch thing. I mean, I think they're very functional and they're very cool at what they're doing. But is it gonna end of the day? Is it gonna make me buy this game?
No, not at all. Not for $180.
Yeah, no, that price,
even at $150, it's a little
price
too high.
Is just too high. And you know, I know the game's not gonna be deep. Like, I mean, if I want this experience, I would track down the old Warhammer quest, or I would just grab Talisman, which is currently in print.
The newer Talisman.
Yeah, the Fantasy Flight Talisman.
Fantasy Flight Talisman.
Yeah, just I would just do that.
Or Descent. Descent is essentially.
Yeah, Descent as well. You know, because I mean.
Well, Talisman is not really like Warhammer Quest. It's.
Well, I mean, if I want a dungeoning game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little dungeon. It's a little more abstract. But,
yes,
like,
Talisman's a lot about the like overall adventure.
Yeah.
Talisman's more like an RPG in a box, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you want like a good dungeon crawl that's currently in print, go with Descent. You might as well fucking. It's the better version of it, and there's like a billion other.
For current games. Yes.
Yeah, and there's a billion, what's it called?
Expansions,
yeah.
Yeah, there's a ton of expansions.
Even the fourth D&D stuff is not bad. Their dungeon crawls are actually pretty fun.
Oh, yeah, because their game system works great for...
Mini games.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I shit all over fourth edition for being a terrible role-playing game, because it is a terrible role-playing game, but it's actually a pretty good game.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing that was really funny, is, like, I think they finally made one game in fourth edition, but that the thing that was always, like, super hilarious to me is that the video game edition of D&D was fourth. That was the one that was made like a video game.
Yeah.
And it had like no video games made for it.
Yeah, that's true. Because it was designed to be an MMO.
Right. I mean, it had fucking dailies. It had, it had cooldowns. Like, it was a fucking MMO on a tabletop, you know? Yeah. So.
And everything was designed around like part, like, oh, you this it spawns like three goblins, and you know your party goes and takes on the three goblins,
and you needed to have the triangle of tank, DPS, and heals, and you needed like the caster that could do like AoEs, because then minions would come out, and there's like nine minions, and they all have one HP.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the guy to go like AoE and like take them all out with one damage, you get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
It's a fucking video game.
It is.
So and I hated that from the standpoint of it being an RPG.
Yeah.
But from being like a game, it's great.
Yeah,
it's totally functional.
Yeah, and the fourth ed stuff, like Castle Ravenloft and Wrath of a Shardalon was the only one I didn't like.
Legend of Dritzt.
The Legend of Dritzt actually ended up being pretty cool.
And then they did the
that was the only three of the dungeon crawls.
They did the Underdark, the one that Guildforce 9 made. It's still the fourth edition one, as far as I know.
Oh, is it? But I didn't know they released that one.
Yeah, Guildforce 9 is doing all the D&D board games now. It's not Wizards anymore. Wizards only did the three.
Yeah,
and then the newest one is the. I think it's Champions of the Underdark or something, but it's the adventure game system. Yeah. But it's a.
Can I play Dritzt?
Well, if you have Legend of Dritzt, you sure can.
Yay!
He's in there. Yeah, you can be Dritzt Duerden, and you can have sex with your panther spirit or whatever it is.
Don't talk bad about having sex with my panther spirit.
I wasn't talking about. I said you could. There was nothing.
You kind of said it with like a.
You can slam that panther pussy all you want. Okay.
I think that would be the name of this podcast. Slam that panther pussy. See if that gets put up on tabletop gaming news.
Just do dollar signs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that's
push it.
push it real good. That's the thing, you know, straight up though, like IRL, some dude bang a panther and doesn't die, like I would not press charges against that guy.
Or like a bear,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. Yeah, like you fuck a super dangerous animal and like don't get killed. I think you're good.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's the scale down level. You kind of get like what about an ocelot? They're not really that big.
It's got to be dangerous to humans. Dangerous.
Well, ocelot could be dangerous to humans, but
I mean, that's like I don't think an ocelot's gonna kill you. It's gonna hurt you, but not kill you.
Like a puma, yes.
Yeah, that'll fucking murder the shit out of you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like a bear also will murder the shit out of you.
Yeah, I mean, there's some like, but a porcupine is also dangerous.
That sounds like that. You know what? That's truly the most dangerous game. It's not hunting man. It's trying to fuck a porcupine. Like, all right, you got to do it. You can't get any spikes in your dick.
Well, I mean, you could, but it's if
nope,
you...
that's disqualification.
Well, I mean, there's no disqualification. You just have to have sex. I mean, you can hurt yourself.
You just got
to
hang in
I
there.
I mean, like, if you try to have sex with a panther, you're going to hurt yourself.
Most likely.
He will get a couple swipes in. I'm not going to lie.
Might kill you.
Yeah, he might kill you.
Probably will kill you.
Yeah. I will give that a 98% possibility of you getting killed trying to have sex with a dangerous animal.
Yeah, I think that's a thing.
I mean, it probably would actually be safer for a bear because
now, see, this is the
bear probably wouldn't even know that it's happening.
This is a reality show that we could pitch. I think the History Channel or Discovery are now slummy enough to actually go like, all right.
I still want to do the show of a man versus shark, but like the man's it's
like a fist fight.
Yeah, like a fist fight, but the man's in like it's waist deep water.
Oh, okay.
So both of them have somewhat of an advantage. Like a shark can't get down, but it's also can swim really fast. But a man also can, you know, you have a little bit of maneuverability. You're not hampered by the water too much.
I think the man loses.
I would give the man a knife at least, just a knife.
Yeah, I think he still loses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think a man stands a chance. I mean, it depends on the type of shark.
Well, and also we're talking like he might win. He might have a posthumous victory. Like, I think there's a because humans are, interestingly enough, for as fragile as humans are, we're actually one of the most robusto animals on the planet.
We have very high survivability rates.
Right. We're like, you know, things that kill horses.
We can
also
run for extremely fast for extremely long amount of time.
Yeah. And our ability to just stay awake and just like keep moving. Yeah. That's pretty unique, actually, because there are anthropologists are talking about they're uncovering evidence of our ancestors doing something called exhaustion predation.
Yeah.
Which is you, me, and four other guys with our weapons find a pack of animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we start walking towards them and we just follow them.
Until they exhaust.
And we just keep following one of them until it just drops. Like, and we follow it day and night and it just drops and we kill it and eat it. Like, that's a thing apparently we used to do. And that's why our bodies can do things like run marathons and, like, last really long. But we don't
have... Or play World of Warcraft for 3 days straight.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But we don't
or I
have...
I should say StarCraft. That's the one that generally kills people.
Yes, but we don't have, you know, the ability to run 80 miles an hour or, like, make these giant leaps. We're just, like, we're robust. That's what people have. They have, like, endurance and stamina.
Well, we used to be.
Well, yeah. We can. We still can be.
We could get back there.
Yeah.
But, it's just you have to take away internet and like
you have to take away everything that makes life worth living.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything that is good in life you must take away.
Yeah.
You can't crush your enemies. You can't hear the lamentations of their women.
Well, that's what it'll go back to is crushing your enemies, hearing the lamentations of the women.
Yeah. So you know, and like a horse, if a horse breaks its leg, it's dead.
Yeah.
Like a horse is dead. You break your leg, you can fucking heal it. Even on your own, you can fucking pop it back into place and, you know, heal.
You have to have a healer in your party though.
It's true. So I think
to heal.
I think a fight like that, like a waist deep water, a shark, a dude with a knife
rest
and a shark,
please.
Will probably lead to like he could probably get like a critical blow on the shark that would lead to the shark dying, but I believe the shark would also be able to kill him faster.
I mean, I think that the man, if like the shark was coming at him really good, and he's sitting there, it's like waist deep water kind of. Let's say it's a tiger shark, right? Like, I'm not gonna say great white because you know that's just not fair. Let's say it's a tiger shark's coming at him. He's got the knife. Let's say it's like a standard, what do you say?
Bowie knife.
6-inch, 8-inch?
Just do Bowie knife.
Okay, Bowie knife.
That's
okay.
A really good
that's
standard.
A big knife. Yeah. Okay. I think that makes it even better. So shark comes at him. Like, if he's able to get, like, a good jab in right off the start, right? And he's able to move out of the way and like get on the shark's back and just stab it, I think he could do it.
Maybe. But I mean, like, and the shark could also that the other
the shark's skin will cut him,
right?
But, yeah,
and also the shark can, you know, bite him. Right. I think it's going to be a matter of who catches who just right, because if the shark goes for his leg, which is the most natural spot, if he hits his carotid, it's over.
It's true. I mean, like, there are a couple things. Like,
yeah, there's
that,
there's
yeah,
artery.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, that's why, you know,
you could sever a carotid artery playing paintball.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. There's all sorts of, you know, like the dice rolling would be intense.
Yeah. I mean, it would be. I mean, a critical failure is always a possibility. Yeah, you know, and so that's why you'd watch it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You never know.
Yeah. I mean, we kill like how many sharks a day? We kill like 1,000 sharks a day, I think is what the tally is.
Unnecessarily.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Completely unnecessarily. So, I mean, you know, we'll give the sharks a chance to fight back. You know, that's what it would be.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. Now, if it was Conan would beat the shark.
Yeah, Conan would take the shark and beat the shark with another shark.
He might actually befriend the shark and then ride the shark.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. I was at the
Broad Zone.
I was at the Brookfield Zoo the other day, and I was looking at like just the different types of animals, and I'm like, these lazy ass animals. I could defeat these animals in combat. It's like they have bison now at the Brookfield Zoo, like this big bison habitat, and I live literally 2 minutes away from actual bison. I can go see bison from outside my house, and I'm just like, I would ride a bison as an epic mount,
dude. There used to be a lot of bison in the United States.
Yeah.
A lot.
Well, and that's another thing too, is like I was reading there, and they were like, we want to bring the bison back, and then it was like a counterpoint argument of like, we bring the bison back, what do they do? Like, or like we brought it back, but for what?
You can't really bring the bison back the way they were, because there were millions and millions of bison that moved in giant herds, and
well,
you could bring them back. You could bring their population's booming basically in comparison to what it was. They're no longer endangered. I don't even know if they're threatened anymore, but like they're bouncing back easily, because you know we aren't currently at war with Native Americans.
Well, you're not.
Well, right. Okay. Most of the white man is not trying.
There's a Cree settlement outside my house that's been giving me problems.
Yeah. Well, then maybe you need to go and kill some bison. But yeah, a lot of people don't know that like one of the reasons like the bison were hunted to almost extinction was to deprive the Native Americans of their major
food source,
clothing source, shelter source, weapon source, literally everything. Yeah. like just, and that's why if you study any of Western American history, which why would you? Because it's, you know, who cares? But
some people like cowboys.
Yeah. Like, okay.
It's
so
not as popular as it used to be.
I actually had a discussion about it. I think history is like a weird thing, because I think it's cool. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's cool about it, but it's like being a historian seems like the stupidest.
I would agree. Because the only thing that a historian really does is someone goes like, huh, I wonder how cowboys did this. And this guy goes, I know how they did it.
Like, well, or they're just doing it for the ultimate, well, actually.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, actually, the cowboys. But, you know, if you can hear about, like, they used to just shoot bison from the train. Like, while they're, like, riding the train, they'll just fucking shoot them.
That sounds awesome.
Just shoot them. Just leave them.
Well, yeah, because there's, the person was talking about how most bison nowadays are actually a combination of bison and cow.
Beefalo.
Like, their gene pool has been kind of muddied by cows, but they actually found like a pure bison herd in, I think, Yellowstone or something like that, that's not corrupted by any of that.
Bison's got big dicks.
Do they?
Yeah.
Have you ever eaten one?
I have not.
Okay.
I would not eat a dick.
Then you would not. I don't know. Last time we
and I wouldn't even need a dick because of the like ew ooginess. I wouldn't need a dick because that's just fucking rude. Like, that is straight up rude. Like, you fucking killed this thing. You're eating it, and you got to fucking give him the one last indignity of eating his fucking Johnson.
No, because you know what? If I got killed to be eaten,
I want them to bury my dick.
No,
they can eat all of me.
I want them to eat my dick.
I want them to eat all of me except my dick and balls.
I want to be
you bury
there,
that shit.
I want to be sitting there like fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi in Ghost Jedi mode,
just like nodding
going,
as they're eating
like,
your dick.
Yeah. Eat my dick. Eat it. Go ahead. Choke on it. Choke on my dick. It goes down so smooth. Yeah, no. Yeah, but yeah, I would ride a bison as an epic mount. I think it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
It looks kind of comfy to ride on, actually.
I don't imagine they wouldn't. I think if
they
you
look
could,
kind of like you could sleep on them. Like, they look like fluffy.
They are fluffy, I think. Yeah. Their heads are definitely fluffy.
You would actually like it at the Brookfield Zoo. They have like a new like kids petting zoo area. that you could actually go up and pet wallabies.
Oh, I love wallabies.
Yeah. There's like, it's like an Australian pen, and there's wallabies and emus.
Emus.
And you can actually go up and pet the emu.
I gave, there was a, I was at some petting zoo with an emu, and I got this like seed in my hand, and like I was feeding the emu, and the emu was like pecking, like, rip, 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 you know, being a fucking emu. And I was like, ah, cool, emu. And then another fucking emu, like from a distance, saw and like ran over, whacked the other emu with his head, and just fucking buried its fucking beak in my hand. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. The emus are terrifying.
Yeah, he was fucking, he just like was so mad. I was like, why are you so mad, bro?
Apparently, emus are very nice in comparison to like ostriches.
Ostriches are fucking mean, but they're territorial. They don't want you near their
ostriches
shit.
And cassowaries. Cassowaries are apparently like deadly.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like an emu, but it's got like a big stone, like not stone. It's got like a big bone thing outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway,
then so, I do know what that is.
We've barely talked about games. I think we talked about Warhammer Quest for like all of like 10, 15 minutes. Just anything else.
We talked about fucking animals.
Yeah, we did talk
and
about.
And getting fucked up by animals.
And getting our dicks eaten.
Yes, it's true.
So what have we learned today, Steve?
We've learned a lot.
Do we have any other gaming stuff to talk about? I know there's a...
Pandemic Iberia is coming soon.
Yeah, people love Pandemic.
Well, Iberia is really cool. It's a limited edition collector's version of Pandemic.
Oh, I have something
where you're playing as... historical people trying to, you know, stop a pandemic.
Yes.
So like they're shitty.
Yeah. Isn't it like gonna be like the Spanish flu or something like that? That's what it kind of looked like.
I think it's malaria.
Oh, malaria.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah. Just don't build the Panama Canal and we'll be fine.
Mm.
Yeah.
Panama Canal. Pandemic. Illuminati confirmed.
No, the Titan Forge. We've boosted them a couple times on this podcast. I love their crap.
Yeah.
They do like they used to do back when fantasy was like a thing.
Yeah,
they would do
great alternate armies
for it. They changed it up a little bit, but they're doing like a cool samurai Kickstarter, like a fantasy samurai one. And they've been posting a couple of the models that are going to be on for that Kickstarter. And one of them is this like great like kabuki woman riding a giant fish. And I'm like, oh, that's just really cool looking. So I would.
You can finally boost your clan war.
I could boost my clan war.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I've been using clan war. I've been building a small saga army using clan war figures because I figure, why the fuck not?
Nice.
It's essentially would work the same rule set.
What are you going to use the Oni for?
I have so many Oni figures. Their Oni figures are pretty cool. Like they have the big sumo guys. I love those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But the take a look at that. Oh, no problem. What'd you get?
I think it's our Soylent.
Soylent Green?
There is actually a Soylent Green, but
yeah.
This is not Soylent Green.
And like apparently the people who did Soylent that Soylent Green drink or whatever it is had no idea about like what the movie actually was. They just they heard like Soylent Green and like people knew about it. And so they're like, well, let's just use this, and they didn't know that.
That's awesome.
That's what I heard. I cannot confirm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I didn't care enough to like dig deeper into it.
I'm doing some keto soy. So,
ooh,
yeah.
Keto. Is it pronounced keto?
Fuck if I know. I don't give a shit.
You're gonna go rapid weight loss.
We'll see.
You do the ketosis.
We'll see.
I got more power to you. I can't do it. I looked into it. I was like, meh. I'll just diet and exercise. I gotta start up on that again. Yeah, so what other gaming stuff? Anything? Do we know?
I mean, we could just go look. We could look at tabletop gaming news on our phone and pretend that we knew it already.
We can.
We just do that. Kids react to tabletop gaming news. That's what we're doing right now.
We're
going to get sued by the Fine Brothers. Oh, they're already suing us.
Oh.
We did it.
We got sued by the Fine Brothers. It's over.
Yeah. So hold on, maybe I can cut this part out. I fucking care.
New ships are. Oh no, I'm gonna straight up go down the line of tabletop gaming news.
You want to?
Yeah, I'm gonna go. We're gonna do kids react to tabletop gaming news.
Okay,
that's what we're gonna do. We're the kids.
Fuck.
So first thing, Fantasy Flight Games previews Wave 4 ships for Star Wars Armada.
I can't believe that's still going.
I guess some people are into it, man. I don't know.
Well, no, people do love it. Yeah.
It is the Interdictor, looks like. I'm gonna confirm. It is an Interdictor.
Let me
hey, I remembered that.
let me ask you this. So I'm assuming that since there's a capital class Star Destroyer that's going to be there. There's also a Mon Cal ship that's for the Rebellion.
Yes.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
The more surprising news is that there's new Firestorm Armada kits.
I can't believe that game's still going.
I also cannot believe Firestorm Armada was going. I thought it shit all over itself and died.
No, that was Uncharted Seas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Corvus Belli shows off the new Onyx Contact Force for Infinity. Polar Bear, you spelled off wrong. You put Corvus Belli shows of the Onyx Contact Force for Infinity.
Oh, man. He's never going to live that down.
No.
Not ever.
Battlefront previews the Leopard for Team Yankee. Team Yankee. A lot of people are playing
that. What the fuck are the Onyx? They look like the Alephs.
I don't know what that even means.
I think Aleph's the name. The post-human, like, they're clones or some shit.
Oh.
They have, they're the ones that have, like, the Greek hero characters that are, like, clones of the originals. Weird. Oh, they're for the Combine Army. Oh. I don't know. Dude, fucking Infinity is so goddamn messy. I don't know what any faction goes to any faction.
People love it.
People like it. I don't know. I don't get it.
It's actually not a bad game. I've looked into it. It seems like a fun game, but I can't do it. Battlefront previews Leopard for Team Yankee. So, good, we get to play West Germans now in World War III environment. Encounter Quest launches Patreon campaign. Fuck Patreon.
Why you gotta be hating on Patreon?
I hate it.
Yeah? Is it because you don't have a Patreon and people don't want to give you money to do things?
It's true. If I did create furry art on a daily basis,
dude, you could make some. Well, no, actually.
I'd have to make free pornography.
It would need to be good. There's a key there. There's one of the highest grossing people on Patreon is someone who does digital art of just other characters. They're really good.
Oh well,
but they're essentially selling other IP. Like, so this is a weird legal area where like people are like that's recently come up, and it's kind of, I think it actually will apply to minis too. Is kind of all along the lines of Chapter House getting sued by Workshop, is like, what constitutes fan art? What are you allowed to do with fan art? You know what? Because, so for example, the way the Patreon is worded is like, you give them Patreon money and they donate the artwork to you.
Yeah.
You're not purchasing the artwork.
Yeah, that's the way that it works.
So you have this dude who's pulling in, like, I think the last time I looked, because I thought it was so gross, it was like $29,000 a month.
Wow.
Doing things like pictures of fucking, what's her name from Frozen?
Elsa?
Yeah. Pictures of Elsa from Frozen. And like, they're kind of anime-ish, but they're painting. They're digital paintings. So he just does digital paintings of existing characters and is not actually producing content. Like, there's no actual content there. It's just digital paintings of already existing characters and then giving that, like, mailing
that
art out.
I know that the way that it works at like comic conventions, like a lot of those artists who put stuff up, the line is if they're creating an artwork of an existing character from like DC or Marvel, like, is okay with it. You could sell prints and stuff like that. Where they start getting, where the you are breaking IP rules is like when you create comics with those characters.
Okay.
So like if you draw a picture of Superman, it's okay. If you have Superman in a comic book, then you have problems.
All right, I got you. They'll be like, they'll razor look at you.
Yeah. Because I know, like, not Art Balthazar, he does this stuff for DC, but there's the guy who did this stuff for, he did a version of Justice League, JL8, I think it was called. And it was like a little Justice League thing. He was doing like an online, like, webcomic of it, and because it was so popular, DC kind of looked the other way, but then he started making some like bank off of it, and then he got in trouble.
They're like,
for
oh
it.
Hey,
and apparently he was like a huge dick and like sexually harassed people too.
Oh, nice.
I'm gonna get sued because that's probably slander or something like that, but he had some like weird thing going
actually
on.
I don't think it counts if you say probably.
Oh, okay. So
I think if you say allegedly probably, as long as you have a as long as you have something that does not make it a declarative statement, I believe you can argue that it was not slander because you said it was rumor. I just closed that it was rumor. So
if I say, like, the dude has octopus tentacles for feet, I could be slandered because it's not true.
Right. Yeah. But if you said, I've heard that then this guy has octopus tentacles for feet, so people have said, not slander.
I heard Rick Priestley has octopus tentacles for feet.
See, there you go. Yeah. Not slander.
Okay,
you're
cool.
Safe.
Cool.
Rick Priestley and his... octopus tentacle feet will not strangle you in the
his
night.
Octopodes feet?
His octopodes feet. Octopi.
That would be the weirdest thing ever if you met Rick Priestley and he had octopus legs. Octopus tentacles for legs.
Oh, I was going to say, like, what if his feet were just octopuses?
Oh, that'd be even weirder.
Just like
I was imagining more like what's her face from The Little Mermaid?
Ursula?
Ursula.
Yes, you know, now I'm imagining Rick Priestley hanging from your roof. And you like or your ceiling, and you look up, and like there's just two octopuses holding onto the ceiling, and they're connected to his legs.
Oh, that's even cooler.
Yeah, and you're like, what's happening? And then he just grabs you and brings you to his watery, brings you to a watery grave.
Is he a Cthulhu? Is he like a?
I guess
like
he's a deep one.
Deep one.
I guess Rick Priestley confirmed deep one.
Yes,
you've heard it here first.
You've heard it here first. You know what I'm gonna do with this last few minutes that we got here? I'm gonna pimp a couple local businesses. One is the place I go get my haircut out in Batavia, Illinois. It's called Beards Guard. They are fucking fantastic. And like my barber is like a huge Lovecraft / Doctor Who fan. I know the Doctor Who thing doesn't mean much to you. Loves Lovecraft. And it's like you go there and it's one of the few times I've ever gone to a barbershop where I've enjoyed it. This is why I constantly go. It costs a little bit more than like most barbershops. Like you can get a decent haircut.
Well, it's a barbershop. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, barbershops cost more. They're also really uncommon.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I used to go to like maybe a Great Clips and it would cost me $12
right.
at a
and
haircut.
And I would never refer to that as a barbershop.
No. But I go to this place and this guy, it costs like, you know, close to $30, but I never have to talk about sports with the guy. Like we talk about stuff like Cthulhu and Lovecraft and Doctor Who and comic books. And it's like, this is everything that I've wanted in a barber shop.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I just shave my head in the bathroom.
I used to do that, and then like I found these guys, and they were like, no, we could actually give you a haircut and like trim your beard and make you look like a decent human being. I'm like, thank you. Thank you so much. And then there's this place out in Mount Prospect I just found out about. The
Tokens and Tankards?
Yeah, Tokens and Tankards. It's a restaurant.
It's a barcade.
Yeah, it's a barcade.
Those things, barcades are like the new...
But it looks more like tabletop-y than an actual arcade.
It's same difference. Like there's
half a dozen of one, six of the other?
Right. There's barcades that are opening up everywhere that are either... they're gastrocades if it's board games. They're barcades if it's
beer,
tabletop games.
Oh, tabletop. Okay.
Damn it. No.
You got the switch it around.
Barcade is coin op.
Yeah.
And gastrocade is tabletop.
Okay.
That's what people are usually. That's usually the distinction.
Okay. I've never heard gastrocade before. That is like
the that is the big thing that is popping up. Well, because it's based off a gastropub.
Yeah.
But you call it a gastrocade. Okay. So like the barcades are usually more focused on the drinks and arcade games. But I digress. It's like a ridiculous, pointless distinction. That is the new pop-up business that's happening everywhere. Like that is like the new trendy thing. That's like if there's probably one opening right now. Like there's probably one opening across the street right now.
Yeah.
There's a couple hipsters with fucking crocheted scarves and giant thick glasses.
I have a crocheted scarf.
Yeah, because you're a fucking hipster.
No, because my wife made me one. So, I never wear scarves, but so, I have one.
So crocheted scarves, giant thick glasses, and like the other one's wearing an ascot, and they're both holding, I don't know, some micro. One's got a microbrew IPA, and the other one's got a PBR, and they're talking about how sweet their gastrocade is going to be. That's happening right now across the street.
I never really understood because I've seen places do like the board game coffee house thing where they have like board games at the coffee house. I've never really understood like how that makes any money. Like it just doesn't seem like it would make that much
money.
Well,
that's the thing. It's an entertainment business model. So yeah. you're gonna get to charge people probably a percentage more on every item they buy. Mm-hmm. And it might not even be a lot. It could be just like say 5% more than an average bar. And you're providing that entertainment factor. So yeah. You're going to get people who are going to stay. The idea is it's just like at, you know, a cocktail lounge like in the 80s when they had all of those cocktail arcade cabinets where your people sit and play Pac-Man on the cocktail tables.
That's true, yeah.
Because the longer people are sitting in your restaurant or your bar or wherever you are, the longer people stay and they're entertained, the more drinks they're going to order, the more apps they're going to order.
But that's like the thing with coffee that's a little – like when you're drinking alcohol, at least you're going to – you might lose track of like how much you're drinking, but I mean coffee, it's like you could have only so many coffees.
I think for the coffee house angle, that's more of like a rather than a sustained idea like with the bar or the food, it's more of like your angle to like cut in against Starbucks and other competitors. Yeah. Like, you know, hey, get your espresso here and play a game of Magic against a dude. You know, that's you know, an idea.
A lot of people meet at coffee houses.
That's true.
It's a good date thing.
It's a good neutral meetup place too. Also, just for like a game meetup, it's a good neutral place because you don't have to worry about anyone drinking.
And I could also sell secrets to the Soviet Union there.
The Soviet Union.
Das Comrade. Easy on the comrade there, sir.
You can, you know, that's a great neutral meeting place because like there's no alcohol there, so like no one is.
Yeah,
that you know, there's people like who can't drink, so then they might feel uncomfortable. Or there's people who shouldn't be drinking, who will make other people feel uncomfortable when they are drinking. So it's a great neutral spot to meet up.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of the restaurant thing. I don't know. Like, what I can't think of like a good game that I couldn't like that I would want to have there. I mean, like beercades are okay. I just don't like the coin like Galloping Ghost has spoiled me on that. I would rather just spend $10, $15 flat and play.
Well, most
unlimited.
Most of them have free play. Like from what I understand, like most of the games are on free play.
Not in the city of Chicago. Trust me, I've been to a couple of them, and it's like first of all, things that bother.
They're gonna fucking rake every last dime out of your pockets
in
Chicago.
I've talked about this with Pat, and you know he. I think I've talked about this with you. I used to work in an arcade. That was my thing in the 90s. I worked in an arcade. Every stand-up arcade that came out in the 90s, I played, and I'm pretty good at. Time Crisis being the best.
I love Time Crisis.
The original Time Crisis. I was nationally ranked on the first Time Crisis.
Nice.
Back before, like, we actually had a big book that we printed out.
That's awesome.
That had, like, national ranking scores for games. And so, like, I was nationally ranked.
That's awesome.
For a bit. And the... there's certain things that annoy me. Like if I go to an arcade and I see a cabinet is not calibrated right, it pisses me off to no end because it takes no effort to calibrate your cabinet correctly. And like the fact that like the Star Wars arcade game, you know, the one where you got the stick and you're going through the different levels, that one tends to get uncalibrated quite, you know, you have to calibrate it at least once every 2 weeks or else it's going to.
That's one of the things I love about the Ghosts. Like they don't fuck around. Like if one of their games isn't working properly, it's off.
Yeah,
like it is off. Like it, no matter like whatever it was, if there's something wrong with it, it's off.
Well, I mean, like a lot of the newer games, you calibrate through like an actual screen.
Right.
Older ones, you have to like it's a little more complicated. Like you have to actually make sure the wires and connections are working properly and everything like that, and the joystick's working properly. So a lot of times that doesn't work exactly right. But like I'll give them a slight bit of advantage on that because you actually have to have someone who knows what they're doing with that. But something like the Star Wars arcade game or like some of the Street Fighter cabinets, like the newer ones, those do not take a lot to calibrate. Like fucking fix that. And the fact that arcade cabinets cost more than a quarter annoy the shit out of me in this day and age. If I'm going to play a game, I don't want to play a game that costs me $2 that I'm only going to get to play for like 2 minutes.
I always liked the ranking system. Like for even when I was little, like young a kid, I remember like your coin op was a quarter. Racing games were usually two and environmental games were three. So the ones where you like go into something like Afterburner, that was 3/4 because you're in the fucking thing that moves around. And that. But you know what?
Bam, bam,
that
bam,
is
bam, bam.
That's a very.
To the danger zone.
That's a very structured and sensical way to do it.
Yeah.
But later on, they started doing it based on how new the game was.
Yeah.
So you'd have a coin op for 25 cents next to a coin op for $1. And it's like, these are, what? Give me fucking quarter. Give
it was
quarter.
Actually, it was actually a good, really cool environmental one to play. Not many places had it. We had it. It was the Jurassic Park, The Lost World video game where you get the guns
and you sit in the Jeep.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. So great.
Yeah.
And I've never seen it anywhere. And I've never seen it anywhere really. And you know, back when I played the arcade, I used to play for free because I was a tech. So I would sit there and I would play through it the entire thing. And like the end thing where you're fighting the two T-Rex. Oh, so fun. But aside from that, I like the idea of, I think it would. I also like the idea that it's really close to Games Plus, and I think that's probably part of the reason they chose it there. It's like one of the biggest gaming destinations in Chicagoland area.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect place to put that there, especially with board games or RPGs or something like that. Yeah, I've always found that one of the biggest. It's not a liability because most places don't. Most gaming stores don't mind you bringing in alcohol. You just have to be like really sly about it.
Yeah, some do. I mean, you want to. There's a really difficult, or not difficult. There's a really fine line between running a game store that's a game store or a clubhouse.
Yeah,
and I think you'll everyone who's listening has been to a store that's a game store and a game store that's a clubhouse.
Yeah.
And as If you have a clubhouse that's lasted more than a year, that is the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
You know, the clubhouses are the ones where, like, it's the dude in the fucking back playing, you know, magic with, a you know, his friends smoking cigarettes, and someone walks in and, like, just, like, looks around the store, and, like, you're sitting there, like, you know, maybe looking at a model or whatever, and you watch this person walk in, look around, look at the store, look to see if anyone's there, and then just leave.
Yeah.
Like, that's a clubhouse.
They take, like, a whole pack of cards and leave.
Yeah, that's a clubhouse. You know, you know, there's, you know, game stores where, you know, they're greeted, there's employees, or they're working. You know, clubhouses are where dudes want to stay and, you know, dick around with their buddies all day, and that's just not a It's not a business.
Yeah. No, and and definitely it's that's the thing is, like, but, like, for most games, kind of, I always don't like to drink, but, like, for RPGs, I like to have, like, a beer or something like that. I think it loosens people up a little bit when they're playing. Or, you know, you get a couple, you know, you get your sodas and everything like that, but
I've done a lot of drinking in RPGing and not drinking in RPGing, and I do enjoy drinking when I RPG. Well, I haven't had a drink in a very long time, but I always did enjoy drinking while doing RPGs. But there is a very difficult to spot line where you fall into sloppiness.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And then it's kind of like, what did we do? It's like, I don't even know.
Yeah, you gotta be real careful with that. Yeah. All right. So that's about it for today. We actually went over good. We actually talked about gaming stuff.
We did.
Yay. I was like, all I have to talk about is how much I hate Silver Tower. Let's come up with something else. So anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
Play on Steve.
At Play on Steve. Like the Facebook page /GameClassyPodcast. Where we talk about stuff. It's you make funny you make fun of the British people. I make fun of the British people. Steve talks about Gundams. Stuff like that.
I like Gundams.
Did you see the Anime Uno thing I posted?
Yeah.
That's hysterical.
That's, yeah, I'm really glad that they did a good job translating it to animated.
Yeah.
Well, mostly animated, because that's a super old imager webcomic, but the fucking voice acting that it was actually pretty close to professional, and they had the cadences right. Like,
yeah, that's what I thought was hysterical.
Everything
about it.
About that was fucking perfect.
Like, when I think of, like, a card game anime, that's what I think about.
Yeah, that's the thing that's funny about that is that the reason that joke works really well, and it's really funny if you've seen card game anime, is because that's literally how they're structured. Because there's extremely dramatic moments happening while you're playing a card game. That's like, it's usually like the fate of the world is on the line while you're playing a card game, and, like, people are using cards and they explain the cards. You know, it's like the draw two is like, that allows them to draw two more cards this hand. You know, like that's the thing of card game anime. So a lot of the Yu-Gi-Oh was the biggest one, because Yu-Gi-Oh features a lot of people playing the card game, where it's like two people playing the card game, and then people watching the people play the card game. Like, I can't believe, like, he's in such a strong position, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's in a lot. That's in all the card game anime. There's always, like, the, like, other characters who, like, you know, like, look in, they're like, oh, he's doing pretty good.
I think someone commented, I think it was Rob Hawkins, was just like, the only way that he'll be able to win is if he fails to say Uno on his last card. Then he'll have to pull two more cards.
Yep. Yeah, that would be like an epic moment where, like, he distracts the guy, and then, like, the guy's just like, and he passes, and he's like, and then he realizes, like, no! Yeah, and that lets him pull out the clutch win because he distracted the other guy.
Yeah. The best way you can help out the podcast is like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You give us a 5-star review and tell us we're terrible. As long as we get the 5 stars, I'm okay. You could, and actually, there was another review that was posted on there, I think by the same guy. I think the same guy reviewed us twice. Is that at all possible? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us 2 1-star reviews.
Nice.
I was just like, this dude really hates us. Like, how much do you have to really hate a podcast to give it 2 1-star reviews?
Yes.
I was like, at that point, I was just like, I kind of want to meet this guy. Like,
well, there was someone, one of the biggest board game store owners in the country, was talking about how his reviews on his business are all 5 stars or 1 star.
Yeah.
He's like, there is no in between. He's like, people either love you or they hate you. And hopefully you have a lot more 5 stars than 1 stars.
Yeah, which we do. And I appreciate. It's just, I'm always just like.
But I think that's good. Like, I'd rather be known as a 5 or 1 star than being known as a 3 star.
Yeah.
I'd rather be universally reviled as, like, a terrible thing, or, like, everyone just like, this is the best.
Yeah.
Like,
which is, I think, that's our podcast as a whole.
And but I think that's a big issue. Or not issue, but that's a big thing with pop culture at the moment, and like every facet of gaming, movies, comics, pop culture in general is just like the hyperbole is everywhere. And like with video games, it's super bad, and like movies, super bad. Everything is everything is either the best or the worst.
You're the best.
And you know, like I make fun of it all the time, but like the review score where it's like 9.5 out of 10, it was okay.
Like, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's like slow it down, people. Like,
yeah, you know. So you, the other place you can look at our podcast is on the Game Classy Podcast YouTube page, where it's essentially just an image and our voices over it. So I mean, nothing fancy. Listen on iTunes, get our numbers up. So other podcasts you can listen to the Play On Podcast, aka Pat's Retro Video Game Review Podcast, where Steve and Pat talk about video games. What do you talk about tomorrow?
I don't know yet.
You can talk about Uncharted. We'll
probably be talking about Doom.
Doom. Doot.
Doot. Doot. That video is so great. I fucking laughed my ass off when I saw that.
You know, I'm...
Doot ever talk to me or my son again.
I don't understand, like a lot of those memes, but every time I see this Mr. Skeletal with Doot. The Doot, it makes me laugh. Like the new one that's going around with Here Come Dat Boy.
Oh yeah.
And I'm just like,
oh shit, what up?
I don't get it. Like, what is it? Where's this from?
There's actually a really great old man response meme to that of like it's like basically being like, you know, back in my day, memes used to mean something. They were clever inside jokes that you really had to know. Now it's just random crap. And like the kids are like, oh shit, what up?
Yeah, I don't get it at all. That's me. That's me.
You know why that's a meme? Like this is why that one's a meme. Okay. Why it's not an inside joke, I'll explain. It's very quick and easy. Someone made that Photoshop image of that fucking frog, and they just put Here Come Dat Boy, and someone responded going, oh shit, what up? And like someone thought that was really funny, so they just
It just took off. Yeah.
You know, that's a classic viral meme of just like, because it's so ridiculous. It's a fucking really bad CG frog on a unicycle.
Yeah, it does. I spent time looking up where it's from because I've seen it pop up so often. I was just like, and it's not from anywhere. I'm like, God damn, I'm fucking kids.
Yeah, and there's so many great, the thing I really love meme-wise, like the dankest of memes to me are the meme fusions.
Oh.
So there's there's one where it's Pepe reading a book and it says Reasons to Live, and it's got the frog and it says Here Come Dat Boy, and then he's like, it's got Pepe like looking wistfully, and then the last panel's him like smiling with a tear in its eye, and it says, oh shit, what up? like that thing, that's funny to me. Like when the worlds collide, like that's what I like.
Well, it's like I think I saw one that had the old Mr. Frog and Mr. Toad and Mr. Frog, and they're riding the bicycle together, and he goes, here comes that gentleman, and says, oh my, how you doing? It's just like, it's stupid, I don't get it. Like, what's the, whatever.
It's awesome.
But whatever, if the kids like it, they like it, I can't complain.
And there's also Hold Up, We Dem Boys.
Yeah, Hold Up, We Dem Boys.
Yeah.
So another podcast you can listen to, it's Comic Book Logic. We talked about that earlier, where we talk about comic book movies, dissect them, talk about them, rank them, all that fun stuff, go into the history of the comic books. It's a little bit of a tour de force when it comes to comic book movies. We're going to be doing X-Men Apocalypse. We just did Captain America Civil War. You could find us on Facebook at the Comic Book Logic podcast, and you could also find them on iTunes as well, just like you can with Play On. And that's about it. So, Steve, until next time.
Not so fast, Kaiba. You've activated my trap card.
Game Classy.